right.
You lead us in, right?
Yeah, I lead us in. Okay. This is my job. Your job is to just sit there and be a jerk.
Something
you're very good at. This is the third Face Rocker podcast, and it was the 31st of January. We delayed by one day because Logan was feeling a little bit sick, but you're still under the weather, right?
Yeah, I'm on day 9 of being sick.
I thought you'd always told me that you have to sweat out illness.
So I sweated out day 1 and 2, but that led to me feeling quite bad on day 3. So I tried to step it up with a triple sweat out on day 4 and 5, which led to a terrible day 6 and 7.
So this strategy is not working as well.
If it's too much sickness to sweat out completely, it just multiplies.
That's the thing. I think if I went 100% on the sweat out, it may have worked. But I half-assed the sweat out. By sweat out, I mean you just exercise really hard and stay up all the time and just party as hard as possible, yeah.
In sweats?
By sweating really hard.
Okay.
But I think it's one of those things that if you don't go all the way, it actually just makes it far
worse. I remember once I had food poisoning for a good five or six days, and your response to that was, I think you just laughed at me and said, "You got to sweat out, bro." I'm like, "I can't, Logan. I have food poisoning. I'm throwing up."
That was Wendy's, right? That was Wendy's food poisoining. That was Thanksgiving, right?
It was before second worst Thanksgiving I've ever had.
It's just like chemotherapy. If you half-ass it, the cancer just comes back and kicks your ass.
What was the worst Thanksgiving you've ever had?
I'll get into that in just a second, but we're joined by Logan, as you've heard, Matt, and Brandon, and the worst Thanksgiving I ever had, I feel like I shouldn't talk about it on this because it was really bad. It wasn't family
blood.
Stuff.
Talk bad about blood, Freddie.
I feel like
Freddie's trying to avoid. There's an elephant in the room.
Yeah, because I don't want, you know.
He has this great article about apples to apples that he won't talk about. He won't let.
Okay, well,
mean to some of his friends.
Well,
he was just ranting.
Apples to apples.
What's wrong with apples to apples? Is a card game, by the way. Some would argue
everyone
it's a board
knows
game,
what
but
it
there's
is.
No board.
There's
game,
no
just
board
card.
Involved. Brandon, thankfully, also shares my hatred.
I despise apples.
I think apples to apples is a fan. Can we describe apples to apples
for the people lucky enough to have never encountered this blight upon social interaction? It's a game where you have two decks of cards. You have red apple cards and green apple cards. I don't remember which one was which, but I think one is a set of nouns and the other one is a set of adjectives. And it's every round, one person who is the designated sort of leader of that round picks. Oh my God. Oh, sorry.
Freddy's
the
only
We're gonna have to start over this entire podcast.
All right, sorry, I forgot to turn off my phone. The person picks a noun, and then everyone gets adjective cards, and they play their adjective card in the hopes that the person will pick that pairing. And it's totally arbitrary up to that person. So I might put down a card the noun might be baseball, right? And then, the adjective. It goes adjective. So adjective.
You're describing this terribly.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard a description of a game longer than the actual rule book.
Okay, here's how the game goes. There's an adjective. Let's say it's smart. And then you have a bunch of nouns like Wayne Gretzky, George Washington, television. And each person has five of those in their hand. And they put down the one that they think that's
so
most appropriate.
With this phone
call. And it could be, you could put it down thinking it's the funniest or that it's the most fitting. And it's completely
People
arbitrary.
People don't need a description. They know this stupid game. Anyway, it's stupid.
You're trying to figure out what the person who's
going to edit out this whole section, aren't we?
It's going to cut straight to Logan.
Logan actually likes it.
I think apples to apples is great because it encourages social interaction and conversation
regarding
your player
choice. But it's false social interaction. It's not real social interaction at all.
You avert all gaze?
No, it's just the barest sheen of social interaction.
So here's what, it's a social game. And what you want from a social game is you want to put five strangers in a room, five, maybe less, maybe more, and you want a game that lubricates them talking to one another.
What happens to just conversational skills? Well, here's the thing. I argue that apples to apples is a game for people who have no social skills.
Freddie, would you put training wheels in your kid's bike?
No. You know what? Because you'll learn faster.
Okay, so that's
hold on. You'll ride the tricycle.
Apples to apples
is
training wheels
for social interaction.
It's training wheels for social interaction. If you have some people, also, how do you get the ball rolling with five people? Because it requires one alpha male. You've been lucky enough to have always an alpha male in the group to jump in and be like, "Hey guys, what's up?" But if everybody isn't the "Hey guys, what's up," you have five people who are sitting there quietly to themselves.
And when one guy awkwardly says, "You guys want to play
apples to apples?" And everyone jumps
Bam.
On him.
And everyone goes, "Yeah."
Actually, I just blew out your mic.
The first time I ever played apples to apples was at Dartmouth when I went to a friend's graduation.
Oh, Dartmouth. Look at this.
I was at the Ivy League school. Yeah. So they play apples to apples with champagne. And I played through the entire deck for 6 hours, and I don't remember any of that.
And we played this in French. It was
We played it in French, and they were really good there. No, it was hilarious. And ever since then, every time I played it, it has sucked. So I don't know. The one time I played it was awesome, and since then, so I'm split on it. I don't hate it, but
I absolutely hate it. And because here's the thing: when you play the card, there's only three possible things. It's either the opposite of what it's down there. So it's, oh, it's hilarious. Wayne Gretzky, but guess what? It's bad hockey playing. It's a bad example, but you know what I mean?
I just realized what the problem is. We don't know this side of the story. Freddie was freaking lame at apples to apples.
That's really
the whole time. He was playing
cards, and nobody laughed.
Everybody just kind of awkwardly.
There's only three scenarios.
I just want to know, did you win?
I got cards. I got two cards. Every time I play, I end up in the middle of the
pack. I was in it. I didn't win, but I was in it.
I'm not the best. I'm not the worst. All right. Three possibilities. One's is a hilarious opposite. One's hilarious the same. It's like evil Hitler. He was evil, wasn't he? And the third one's total non sequitur. It's really, is this humorous to you? Are you so like idiotic that the juxtaposition of two words is enough to entertain?
You're still giving me three choices. That you basically said it's either right or it's wrong.
That's
or it's somewhere
right
in between.
Or wrong. No.
Which is basically the entire spectrum of choice making. Congratulations. So the trick then is to figure out the judge. You have to read the judge. It's like poker. Listen, any hand is a winning hand.
But here's the problem. If you're in a room with strangers.
No, but it's about learning them. So like,
no, that's not true.
Ashley's little cousin, he wants to be a police officer. So if I ever had a card that related to police in any way, I was a guaranteed.
But now see, I would agree. I would agree with this. I would agree with that. If it was that you get to pick your cards, but you don't get to pick your cards, you randomly have it. So you could very well have a hand of cards that do not play at all.
But you have seven cards.
This isn't chess, Freddy. This is a party game, for Pete's sake.
I'm just saying there are better games out there.
All right, so Dead Space 2.
And yeah, speaking of games that people hate, let's talk about Dead Space 2.
I want to ask Logan, because I started reading the reviews after I played the game. I tried to do that, and I started hearing about how great those first 10 minutes were. And I played the game for about 2 hours, and I honestly forgot what the first 10 minutes were. That's how forgettable they were. So I had Freddy play it, and I realized they were complete shit. And then you came over and you played it, and what did you think about it?
I had the pleasure of only playing the first 10 minutes before I got up and said, fuck this shit. So my big issue with Dead Space 2's opening is the intro of the game is always going to be hand-holdy, right? Because it's the beginning of the game, and most people don't read manuals anymore. So the intro of the game is literally your first contact with any of the controls, so it has to be very forgiving, which is the complete opposite of the beginning of Dead Space 2 narrative thing, where it's supposed to be this terrible horror moment, right? Where you're like, oh my god, am I going to survive? Well, of course you're going to fucking survive. It's the intro, right?
All of us died during the first 10 minutes.
So you basically mosey around, and then you'll get stabbed, but you're at such a low energy level, you're like, well, I guess I'll do it again. And then you mosey through, and you make it. That's it. Ta-da, you're done. That's the beginning.
Well, then they have a quick time event, and it's like, what button do you press? And they put the camera in such a way that you can't see it right away.
Quick time event's awful.
It's terrible. Everything about it is terrible.
It should also be noted that for a horror game where you're supposed to be powerless, right, the game begins with this giant enemy coming out, and your main character literally headbutts him to death.
I seriously have no idea.
It literally is this Duke Nukem 3D fucking manliest man on earth headbutt to this tentacle monster. Like, well, I guess I'm invincible.
Why am I running away? I should just be headbutting.
Yeah,
all
you
these
should
guys.
Just go around headbutting everybody in your fucking straitjacket.
And the straitjacket would be scary, but again, since it is handholding and you're learning the controls, you realize that there's absolutely nothing to do other than running. So you know there's going to be no challenge you have to do. It'd be great if the guy tried to flimsily fight inside a straitjacket, and you're like, oh crap, how am I gonna get through? Instead, you're like, I'll just get to the end.
So this turns into a bigger issue with horror games in general, where it's like, you always know that you're going to survive. And the worst that happens is you start over 2 minutes ago. So it's basically Next. We're basically playing the game version of the movie Next.
Which was a fantastic movie.
Absolutely. Or one with zero tension. Because the worst that happens is you rewind time 2 minutes and you start again.
I always had that problem when I was playing first-person shooters. I got into quick save-itis, which is like you'll take three steps. That's like quick F9, quick save. And it just got to the point where I'm like, wait a minute. I remember playing a console game and be like, wait, I can't quick save? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with my fingers here? It's just so weird. I feel so naked.
Did you ever play Stalker? Stalker's the one game that, even with quicksave, that game was still scary as shit.
Why?
And you're always tense.
What?
It was a game, so if anybody's played soccer, one, it's a true PC game, so it's buggy as hell, and you may die from the game like, itself instead of like the actual enemies. But it's also so unrelenting. You could just die because you have like too much shit in your pack and you didn't know, so it's too heavy.
So you
just
can't move. It breaks your own back with
you can't move. So like you're like, oh, let me pick up this item, you pick it up and it's too heavy, so your pack is too heavy, and then monsters are coming. So you're like, why can't I move? And then he rises the inventory, and at that point you're so panicked you can't even quick save. So you just start freaking out. It's got a weird Russian nuclear holocaust like apocalypse vibe. It was just a crazy game that was completely ruthless. So quick saving was part of the whole thing. Like you just accepted that you were going to die every second.
So you probably didn't notice this, but the cool thing about Stalker, I've never played the game. I actually just read a bunch of academic
thanks,
papers
Logan,
about
for your insight
the cool
on this
thing
one.
About Stalker was it had a giant nuclear fueled ecosystem about it, where it was tracking like 1,000 miles of like wild creatures roaming the countryside.
That's why I've never been impressed with like when people Red Dead Redemption and stuff is like that's never been impressive to me because I played Stalker like 5 years ago, which actually had creatures that if you like shot enough wolves,
the ecosystem
would change. Yeah, you could change the way bandits and how many people are there. Like that was a real sandbox game. Like,
where are you on that one, Red Dead?
Yeah, where are you on that one? If I shoot all the wolves, they're still there. It's not a sandbox. Like you just go to a place and it's always the same. Stalker was really interesting. That you would kill a dude and like see a watch, like I don't want that watch. And then, like 10 hours later, you'd be killing another guy and see that same watch.
Because
and
he, like, the game's stole actually the watch. Tracked. The guy game stole has, the yeah, watch. Exactly. So it's like the road, the game. So really, they should just re-release it, like as a licensed
title. They've done like four
Viggo Mortensen as your main character.
They just re-skin the guy as Viggo.
They should just do that for more games in general.
I just want more games where I play as Viggo Mortensen. I just want like Doom Viggo edition.
If I was Viggo, that's what you would do. You'd be like, hey, you go to your publicist, mate, listen, digitize my face. Get my facial model to as many.
Viggo just lost to Javier Bardem for Dark Tower.
That's pretty rough.
Just sitting out there, so poor Viggo.
That movie's going to be terrible.
Yeah, but I'm sad for that.
So I don't know anything about Dark. So it's like Stephen King decided to make Lord of the Rings, but with cowboys. Is that what Dark Tower is?
Yeah, it starts off like Good, Bad, and the Weird, or Good, Bad, and the Ugly, but with like weird gothic stuff, and then it becomes kind of this.
So
really
it's like
horrible.
It's like steampunk with cowboys and Stephen King.
Yeah, but it's not like steampunk. And then it gets really meta.
Stephen King's in it.
He's the author, isn't he? Yeah.
As a cowboy?
And the thing
so it
is,
just turns into like slash fiction. Like
it becomes really weird. Not only that,
it's also his other novels show up.
Yeah, he's wrote it through his whole career, so his other novels, actually like characters from his other novels, and the characters in the Dark Tower appear in other novels, because it exists in like this like weird meta world where everything he's written is actually true also.
The problem is, didn't he finish it up pretty fast at the end?
Well,
he got scared.
I guess...
The first book he worked a lot on, right?
Well, I guess the way it worked is something like... Because I only read up to 4. I know Nico and Sam have read it all. But it started off where he was writing it like every 6-7 years. And he got in a car accident and he like almost died. He's like, shit, I got...
You guys heard about the car accident, by the way, right? That's the fucking awesomest thing.
No.
So he got hit by a van, so he bought the van and just took a jackhammer to it for days.
To avenge.
I taught that man a lesson.
Yeah.
If I'm rich,
wait,
I'm
not
totally
the man inside of it. Though.
Well, Logan,
was the man inside of it?
No. Sir, I'd like to buy your van, and I'd like to buy you as well.
Well, Logan, you have a plan for every $1 million you make with vans and stuff, right?
This is true. The $15 million van fleet. Yeah. So for every $1 million, I will buy a van with a sweet, different theme airbrush on the side. So there'll be like the Merlin van and the Dragon van.
Are
and
you
Excalibur
spending all
van.
$1 million on the van?
No. I assume these vans. Let's say
$5,000.
It'd probably be like a good $250,000
for
$250,000.
So a fourth of your income up until $15 million will be spent on.
Well, this is once I get to fifteen million, it'll be a big old celebration.
Okay,
and
okay.
I mean, the reason it's going to cost so much isn't the van, even though the van will definitely be souped up.
Yeah.
But it'll be for the quality of airbrush paying on the side, because I'm talking some primo airbrushing.
You buy the best.
And once I hit $50 million, I want to buy a Harley that is themed identically with its own accompanying airbrush painting to be put inside each van.
And then you can jump out of them.
Yeah, well, and then there'd be a hydraulic ramp coming out of the van. So I could always escape the van in my, like, themed Harley.
Why are you doing all 15?
Pardon me?
What's the point of 15? Are you doing them all at once?
Well, like every million after that, I get another van and another
Harley.
Have
you ever rode a Harley?
And so the goal is to continue to have a job and to come to work each day in a different van.
Oh. Why have the 7 vans? Why 15?
Because I'm literally a different van every day.
So once you get $15 million, you're gonna work 15 more days and just quit.
Just for every day, I want to have a new van,
okay.
Just airbrushed uniquely. So we'll have the one with like the wizard shooting lightning at like a naked babe on the side.
Now, wait. When you said the Harley, I don't think you're thinking big enough here. With the Harley being the same kind of airbrush, wouldn't it be like if the van was like a wizard throwing his wand, then the Harley should be like the lightning bolt. So when the van opens up,
yeah, but I definitely need to be able to identify the Harley to the van in case they get separated. And I don't want to just rely on a system of numbers.
It makes it easier for the cops too if they ever one gets stolen.
Have you ever rode a Harley, Logan?
Huh?
Have you ever rode a Harley?
I've ridden a Honda Rebel, which is admittedly
not a Harley,
which is literally 1/50th of the weight. I'm assuming I'm going to have to practice up this, but I had this dream last night that I spent $8,000 on a 2-day motorcycle course.
Why would you have this dream? And what? That's $4,000 a day.
Wait, actually, what was the actual dream? Was it just you literally filling out the form and writing a check for $8,000?
The dream was me taking this motorcycle course, and by the end of the course, I'm like, wow, I totally know how to drive a Harley now.
And then they gave you the bill for $8,000.
And they gave me the bill, and I was like, holy shit. And I was like, I think my credit card can handle this. I think it can.
Why did you just ride away on the Harley?
That didn't occur to me. I'm a law-abiding citizen, yeah. So anyways, when I woke up, though, I definitely feel confident that I could drive a Harley really well.
Because you dreamed about learning and paying $8,000
for it.
It's
like the Matrix, man.
Yeah, no, I totally, I have the kineticism.
I used to dream about doing manuals on a skateboard. That's the one thing I desperately wanted to do when I was skateboarding around.
Not even Ollie. You just
no, not even
you're like sticking
Ollie.
Like 1970s skateboard mode.
Like 70s, like, yeah, I want to be able to do this. No, the Ollie wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, all there was like handstands, manuals, and like jumping over like carumba bars.
Well, then you pick up the board with you, like the milk and flies and stuff. No, I would dream about, like, I remember I would just practice, you know, like between classes and stuff. I'd like, you know, 20 minutes, kind of like, all right, I'm going to try manual. This is the one thing I desperately wanted to do, was be able to manual for long distances, right? And it was, I remember the culmination of that was one dream, and I was just like, I felt it, you know, that sweet spot. I was like, oh my gosh,
you knew it.
Manual. I'm manually forever. And I woke up, I was like, no.
Well, did you try it?
I tried it after that, yeah.
And did it work?
No, terrible. Yeah. Didn't work. It's not the
you know, so. So when I really got into skateboarding, I actually went to my local public library to look for skateboarding books.
You got into skateboarding?
Sort of nerd.
Wow, that's the nerdiest
you got thing. When was this?
Oh, I was really into skateboarding. I skateboarded, like, I'd say, like, how old was it? 11 years old to 13 year old. I used to see Tony Hawk doing the half pipe.
Did you ever get
that's right, yeah, because you're down
there. Oh, I was terrible.
Because the reason is because while all the other kids were skating on top of the library, you were going inside the library and getting books of skateboarding.
Exactly. But the problem was, the only books they had on skateboarding were from the 70s, so instead of like sweet tips on how to do all this,
it's like how to hang 10.
Yeah, exactly. It's like how to longboard on your giant piece of plywood from 1968. but yeah, I got really into skateboarding. They had like the big skateboard park in California, it was next to my house. And I saw, you guys ever hear of Andy McDonald? He was better than Tony Hawk. He was like the best vert skateboarder. Uh-huh. And I thought I saw him.
Did he do the 900 first?
No. Okay.
No, he's not.
Okay.
No, but this is post Tony Hawk. This is like the sequel to Tony Hawk.
Oh, okay. So he did a 1080.
Yeah, exactly.
Or did he?
Or maybe he did like a McFlip or some shit.
Did he have Activision games based on him?
But I was just like, are you Andy McDonald? Andy McDonald, he just goes, who do you think? Skateboard off. I was like, Jesus.
And he just skateboarded off doing a flip trick.
Yeah, he was a dick.
Well, he was the best skate.
When you're the best in the world, you can afford to be a dick.
You can be a dick.
That's probably good. Yeah,
so let's talk about the PSP 2.
Oh, yeah. The PSP 2.
Is it a phone? Is it a phone?
No. So there's actually rumors, the PSP 2, right? And then there's the PSP phone, which is called like Xperia or something.
But it's called, its initials are NGP, right?
For NGP. Like
next-gen PlayStation phone.
So is this the first time I've ever heard
that? NGP. Dude, these people like, it's Japanese, that don't even bother. Wait, like,
NGP what does is it a sound temporary like? Title, though. So I've never seen somebody announce something that has a real title, PSP 2, and then give it an acronym and then say that's a temporary acronym. So like, who's the PSP 2? Which is called NGP.
I'm still clear. So the PSP 2 is not a phone. But no, there's also a phone that's not a PSP 2.
I believe Samsung. Yeah.
But it's also a PlayStation? But you call on it.
Yeah, and it's actually not called the PSP phone.
But you can
phone.
Get text
called,
messages
like, the
Xperia on both.
Or some weird name. And it's just a phone that Sony's made with Samsung or one of those.
But people. And it's a PlayStation.
It's
But it's not a PlayStation.
It's not the PSP 2.
It's separate.
Move on.
Yeah, it's separate.
But it plays, but can it, doesn't can it play Final Fantasy?
No, it won't play, yes, it can probably play, for all those Final Fantasy fans out there who want to play it on their phone, it will play some, there's enough Final Fantasies out there that it'll play one of them.
Okay, so we're going to table the phone that's not a PlayStation,
the phone,
but plays PlayStation
cares about
phones.
The
PSP 2, that has like the hand of the
it has everything.
Okay, so PSP 2, the two big featureless, As far as I can tell, it has three cool things. It has two thumbsticks.
Two thumbsticks.
It has the power of PlayStation 3.
Yeah, it has the power of...
Somehow.
It actually uses some weird quad core instead of like the cell.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like the PlayStation 3 had cell power, right? Yeah. But this doesn't have cell power.
This is some quad core that's like, according to them, like more powerful than...
The PlayStation 3.
It doesn't actually have more power, just less pixels. So, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't have to render as much.
Similar looking stuff.
But the pixel resolution is pretty
intense. TI-83 is the same power as the PlayStation 3 if it's a one pixel by one pixel.
What's the resolution? What's the resolution?
Fred has a computer there. Can you wiki it, Freddy?
What's the resolution on the PSP 2? And then the other thing that I feel like people are kind of confused about is this touch screen on the back.
The touch screen on the back. That is weird to me. Which seems like the most gimmicky of gimmicks.
Well, it's not a touch screen, it's touch pad.
It's a touch pad the back.
That'd be weird if it was a touch screen.
Now,
I can't see it. Yeah.
So tell me, have you guys ever heard of a touch screen on the back of a screen?
Well, yeah, it's been rumored for like 2 years now.
I remember they rumored that for the iPhone.
I wonder if this is NDA, maybe I just heard it when I was at Disney. I heard about the touch pad, like it on the back, for a long time. That was a rumor.
Well, I remember hearing rumors about that for the iPhone. Like that.
Yeah. Oh, the iPad.
The keyboard
was on the back.
And
then Apple realized that was fucking stupid.
And then PlayStation and Sony decided to say, "Oh, I guess
we." I think Logan likes it.
The thing is, they're not taking away any controls on the front because of it. It's the kind of thing where it's like, if anyone figures out something to do with it, it's there.
But it's cost very much to put in.
In my other life as a military person. I actually saw this at Microsoft. Uh-huh. In fact, I went to the lab that developed this many years ago, and I have to assume they're using the patents for it. So when I was in Berlin, they actually featured this touchpad on the back, and the big deal about it is that when you have a touchscreen, right, you only have so many pixels. Right. And if you have an iPhone, that's like 4 fingers wide by 6 fingers wide, right?
Yeah.
So when you put your finger on to touch something, you're covering up like a good 10% of that screen, and the idea with doing it in the back is you can actually continue to see the entire screen and actually get incredibly precise touch. So like when you look at your finger, when you press your whole big fatty thumb onto that screen, it's finding the centroid of that of that big old fatty print, right?
Really obsessed with those words.
that's a big issue. It's like with a mouse, you get pixel perfect. With a finger, it's like 30 by 30 pixels wide. It's completely inaccurate.
Which makes the drawing apps, by the way, incredibly hilarious.
Oh, it's a piece of shit. But when you do it from the back, you can actually see everything that's touching, and so you can actually be very, very precise.
Did you try using it? Touches. Are you able to like press in the back? And
I'm kind of curious how they do it, but in the experimental version, they'd actually give you an image, like a silhouette of your fingers at all times, and then so you could exactly see where your fingers were.
To me, it feels like it's such a separation from like what you're doing. Like, while there is a big fat finger, you're still like, there's obviously the joy of touching something.
Well, you have to get used to it. But the big thing is, if you see all your fingers or a representation of all your fingers, you can actually kind of start connecting, and it's kind of like holding a book or something. So the
other thing is, it's like holding a transparent book. No, but how does it feel when you're moving the fingers that are kind of like your support at the same time?
The idea is that you keep those to the side and you only use like two main.
Because that's why I hated the Magic Mouse. I can't stand the Magic Mouse.
I love the Magic Mouse.
I can't stand it because it's the same fingers I use to like support and then swipe, and so then I end up moving the mouse.
I use a trackball and everybody just gives me crap.
Yeah, trackballs are really cool if you want to play Centipede. I love playing Centipede.
or that golf game.
Trackballs are
great. Freddy's playing Marble Madness.
I've actually searched for a kick-ass trackball to play Centipede for years now.
Golden Tee. No, so, I use a trackball. What's wrong with a trackball? Well, it's great because every single person sits on my computer and there's like, and they can't use my computer.
But only for
Centipede.
You play more Centipede.
I think a trackball's great.
So the other thing about this, so this lab's in Germany, right? So I went over to Germany, and I thought this would be a nice way to talk about Germany for a little bit. So
I've been to Germany. Huh? Have you been to Germany?
No. I have a friend who went to Germany for a while.
Okay, I've been to Germany as well.
What were you doing in Germany?
That was just family vacation.
So what did you think? What did you think of Germany?
Germany is a very... Well, it's interesting because there's so much stuff. It's like the Autobahn. It's like, sure, yeah. Well, first of all, the Autobahn, this whole stay left except to pass, right? I mean, stay right except to pass. It's like, they enforce that. But they don't enforce it with the cops. They enforce it by the Beamer going 130 miles an hour, flashing his high beams at you from a quarter mile away, telling you, can tell that you're going too slow. And it's like, literally the BMW just be flashing high beams on you and it's just like, you're like 10 seconds. Like, oh my God, it's right here. It's right here. The guy's like leaning on the horse. So it's like, you get over.
So the Autobahn is unlimited speed, right?
Well,
you can go as fast as your car can go.
It was, but there's areas around cities now and areas around like villages and towns.
So they've watered it down.
It's a watered down thing. There are sections, there's stretches of it that are unlimited, but a lot of it has speed limits at this point. Hmm. So as a result, though,
speed limits, or is it just kind of like we have speed limits, but do whatever you want?
I think it depends. It's, I think they're like speed trap places. You know what I mean? Well, here's the great thing about it was that like, so when they have, well, I guess it's not a great thing. When they have accidents, then accidents are infrequent or less accidents because everyone's more alert when they're driving.
Yeah,
because
they're scared shitless.
Yeah, exactly. But when they do happen, the fatalities
are rocking, right?
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure it's like faces just ripped off.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't remember this. I remember reading about this somewhere, but they were talking about like creating privacy screens for like accidents because they're so gruesome and it's like passing motorists. They need to cover this up. I just thought that'd be kind of an interesting thing to have here, you know? Because the question is like, would that stop people from slowing down? You know what I mean? Because you're on the side of the road now it's a screen up. So now it's like, oh, I know there's what's behind them? The curtain of death.
Perhaps I can sneak a peek.
Exactly. I mean, people might even slow down more. You know, the idea was to try and, you know, censor it a little bit and to not have people have to see a motorcyclist with his head, you know, shorn off by a semi truck or whatever. You know.
So when I went to Germany, I totally didn't think I'd be this guy because it should be noted, I am partially German. I was raised by a like first generation German lady.
You're part Viking.
I am part Viking, and we can talk about that if you'd like. But all I could think of when I was in Germany was like, oh my god, all these people were Nazis.
Which of course none of them were.
I was like, oh my god, 50 years ago.
Ones. Yeah, only the really
like
old
50
ones.
Years ago, or like all their parents, fucking Nazis. That's all I could think about. And so we go to this
eating Nazi.
We go to this lab where they have the behind the screen touch thing that's on the PSP, right? And the guy who runs it was in America for like 20 years. And he's like the most upstanding, good-looking man ever, and he sounds like Harrison Ford, right? Like he talks like this, and I just think, well, but he's actually a native German, and that's just his English accent. So he's talking to us in English, like, ha ha. Well, we'll just catch the next one, ha. And then he'll turn to his little assistants and be like, "Der Schlingel Heisenberg," and like send him away. And I'm like, oh my god, German spy! Like that's all I can think of. Like, oh my god, this guy is fucking Stasi. I couldn't believe like how much that was built into my psyche. Just watching so much Indiana Jones before going to Germany.
That sentiment must be the real reason they don't allow anything related to
absolutely
Nazis whatsoever. Like, because they know every single person.
Every single guy who goes over there is like, dude, you guys
are Nazis. If that's the way it gives you crap, you can just win. It's like, dude, you didn't give me my change. You're a Nazi. Or you were a Nazi.
Other weird thing, they do not like you touching their hands when they give you change. Like, you have to put it on, like, the surface, and then they grab it off the surface.
Because they're Nazis.
Yeah. Because they're Nazis. That must
well, why
be.
Why do you think that is?
I think they just don't like touching other people. I think that's pretty much it.
You gotta be cold in German. Too much touch softens you up.
Exactly.
Softens you.
Fantastic bakeries, and the best Italian restaurant I've ever been to, actually, was in Germany.
Not in Italy.
Not in Italy? No.
Okay.
But to be fair...
when I was in Italy, I hated Italy.
Ashley went to Italy, and she said she got tired of it. Italian food in like 2 days. At first, like, oh great, Italian food in Italy, and then like the third bowl of pasta you've had that same day, you're just like, I'm done.
It should be noted every day I have at least one meal of pasta because I know how to cook it.
Is that the only reason?
You looked at me and were so smug because I know how to cook it.
Yeah, I know how to cook it.
Do you still have your panini maker?
George Foreman grill.
If I do, it's deep within the recesses of my kitchen. Did you use my panini maker?
I made paninis on it. Yeah. I'm just saying it falls under your designation of things I know how to make, therefore I will eat.
Which is just, of course, a sandwich that you then put in your
panini
maker.
Then you're a girl. I'm now into toasting my bread before the sandwich and then making it. Whoa. I have at least one sandwich every day and then a bowl of spaghetti and meatballs every day. And that's pretty much my diet forever.
Is there any reason for it? Is there like just like the Bronson or no?
No, it's just those are the two things I know how to make. So I just eat them over and over again. I've actually lost 10 pounds like this.
I'm going to get you a cookbook or something.
So I bought
Julia Child.
Julia Child's
Logan.
Guide to French Cooking. Guide to French Cooking. And nobody tells you that even though that's an introductory guide, it's incredibly difficult to follow.
I was just trying to
learn the basics of French cooking, you know.
Well, if you want the basics of French cooking, the best book for that actually is this guy Jacques Pepin, who has a thing called The Complete Techniques, which literally starts you out from like how to hold a knife all the way up to like the most complex.
See, I told you that that's what the Julia Child's book was going to
be. This one's considered the one for that. It's like
but does it ease you in? So that's the big thing is like, I always expect things to ease me in, but instead they always just want to dump like 1,000 like, I always prefer that recipe.
I always prefer it just be like, just explain everything and then try to figure it out.
Oh, that never works with me.
It doesn't usually work, but it's fun.
So what else we got here?
I think we talked about TI-83.
Well, you know what it was? I had something here. Brandon, we were sitting around and we were remembering old TI-83 games.
I never played TI-83 games. I wasn't.
You serious?
Yeah.
Did you have a graphing calculator?
You read books about skateboarding instead of actually skateboarding.
So you're like a nerd jock.
In addition to reading the skateboard books.
You didn't have a graphing calculator?
No, I totally had a graphing calculator, but when I wasn't, you know.
That graphing calculator was for work, Brandon. Only for work.
I made graphs on it, then I put it down. And I walked away from it.
He's not a nerd. I made graphs on it instead of playing games.
I remember like, fucking nerd making graphs.
I made graphs.
Actually, did you ever try to draw a picture with it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No?
I was very uncreative with my usage of the TI-83 graphing calculator. Right.
Well, the thing about graphing calculators was always interesting because it was just so weird, like, what games people played. And some of those games must have been played by, like, almost everybody.
They had Drug Wars on there. Right?
Drug Wars. Whoever made Drug Wars. That's like one of the most played games of all time.
Fall Down was huge.
Fall Down, Drug Wars, the Snake one with the zeros.
What's amazing is that people still use TI-83 calculators. We now have iPhones.
And by the way, they're still like, how much are they?
$110.
They're still like $110, by the way.
The fuck?
Yeah. Exactly. Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, to be fair, so I was asking about this because my brother is like a statistician or whatever, and I think the 83 is useless, but the 89, in order to do what the 89 does, you do need to actually essentially buy math programs on the computer, which are essentially like $100, or you program them yourself.
Right, so but that's the only
reason. However,
my point is that
you don't do that in high school, so there's no reason.
No, the 83 plus is $100.
I'm just surprised nobody's written the app for like $3 on your iPhone. I guess you can't use it in a test because
there is a really nice calculator app that is like that.
Yeah, but you can't use it in a test though. You can't bring that to the SATs and be like, all right, it's time.
It's just my phone.
It's just my phone. I'm just using it.
They don't buy that anymore.
It's just my phone. Don't mind this.
There was a time. Yeah, there was a time where you could get away with it. Oh no, it's just my phone. Whatever, and didn't realize.
I guess I missed that time.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward.
I really wish I passed my SATs.
What I always wished was that there was a retinal display, like, you know, the kind of thing where I could surf the internet in my glasses. And I thought, like, well, that'd be so sweet.
That
I could be able to
really expensive.
Yeah, that would be cool.
An affordable one. Well, no, an affordable one that no one that knew cool. about. I mean, an affordable one that no one knew about except me, and then I had.
So you made it.
You're like fucking Peter Parker making his own, like.
Peter Parker didn't make it.
Okay, Peter Parker has his. He made his own indestructible spider web. Like,
the only thing he ever built.
It's the only thing he ever built.
Wait,
I have to get on this. So, can we get on the Sam Raimi? So, I remember everybody hated the Sam Raimi Spider-Man when they first saw it because they quote unquote didn't use the whatever invented Spidey machine.
Which is
the stupidest thing ever, because this kid, it doesn't even matter if he's smart, he's not a millionaire, and he invented this thing, and they're like, oh, this is stupid. It's, how can you use organic? That makes no sense. It only makes sense if he was bit by a spider, has all the powers of a spider, except for that, and then made it himself. Except he has to make that
and then
himself.
He makes a machine that shoots infinity webs out that are stronger than like a car.
Exactly.
Why is he, using that for
cartridges,
like,
to be fair, it's ammo. So they're all
why is he not
that?
Doing that for like textile manufacturing or something? You know what I mean? Like, he should just be sitting there.
So he's just a selfish brat.
And then, he's selfish.
And then Mark Webb, the new Spider-Man, which I have no interest in, the costume comes out and it looks freaking stupid.
It's the same Spider-Man costume. They all look the same.
However,
this looks totally stupid.
However,
because it is navy blue, not dark blue, and it's slightly thinner in the torso.
Actually, my complaint about it is
it looks fucking Spider-Man costume.
It looks like it's made out of rubber chainmail. Okay. The texture is ridiculous. My point is that Mark is that everybody was hating on this movie before it's come out. However, they just said, yes, we are indeed using the mechanical spider webs. And now the entire internet's like, oh, this movie's gonna be fantastic. This tiny difference means
he understands Spider-Man.
Are
you serious? That's all it takes. Spider-Man, it really bothers me. Spider-Man has a fucking musical, right? They're remaking it in our lifetime.
You know what he's talking about? Like, this is the true American mythos.
Is this what we've come down to?
Have you heard about the fiascos of that musical, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's like every single one, someone gets injured.
I don't know why they did test screenings. They did public test screenings, which is insane. They should have done private. Because the first public test screening had like two dudes fall out of the sky into the crowd.
Which would have been incredible to witness.
People were saying every performance someone gets hurt. It's almost like you should get your
$60 million. Yeah. And every performance is like $100,000. And I just heard the script makes, coming from, is it Julie Taymor?
I don't even, who cares?
It looks like
it's the stupidest thing of all time.
Everybody said the script is just complete nonsense, too. So all it is people messing up. And I guess
It's like if somebody tried to create Cirque du Soleil but had no idea how.
Yeah, that's exactly what I heard it is.
So you just had people like flipping out of the harnesses.
Or they didn't have engineers. Yeah, they didn't have correct engineers.
It sounds great. It sounds like we should go to tickets.
The thing is, it seems possible.
Yeah, it seems like this one is not long for the world, so therefore it's
one of the main characters like quit and stuff.
Yeah, it's insane. And they had this thing where like every single cast member went to a newspaper. They're like, this show is incredibly dangerous. Like, I don't feel safe. And then they ask the directors and stuff, like, safety is our first concern, and the cast feels fine. It's like, don't worry about it.
I'm waiting for the community productions, like when we have, like, you know, like
syndicated like, out to the community
Hoya
theater.
City Players presents, like,
Spider-Man.
I don't think it's going to get there.
No, oh, Sam Raimi was smart enough to breeze past that stuff as fast as possible.
Because yeah. It's stupid. Yeah, it's just the dumb. It's like, I can't, you know what? The thing is, superheroes in general, I cannot take superhero movies seriously if they take themselves seriously. So like Iron Man,
like Batman.
I don't like I don't like Batman.
Okay, good.
Actually, I think this is like the only time you can find four people that aren't the biggest fans of Begins, and I'm assuming
it's
Dark Knight.
So Christian Bale is a fantastic Bruce Wayne, but his Batman voice is so ridiculous. Yeah. And I love how like they talk to the sound designers, like, yeah, we added some more subwoofer to that and like overlay like the sounds of like dragons hissing and stuff to like really like have you shake your core. But like when it comes down to it, it's like Christian Bale like whispering.
Yeah. Ugh. Very loudly.
Yeah.
Very loudly. I am the knight. Like it just makes no sense.
No, superhero movies that take themselves seriously, I can't get behind. It's like Iron Man, I like Iron Man.
Awesome.
Because
Iron Man's
it's awesome. Like they're having not fun true. With it. But here's the thing with Iron Man 2, where it's like, okay, I buy this. It's like, okay, he's some millionaire genius. Okay, he's building up a suit.
But then he
it's
invents like, his own element.
Yeah.
That's pushing, yeah. But you know what's pushing is when they're straight up, but when they're straight up being like, all right, and guess what? In this same universe, Thor, which is, I believe, actually Thor, right?
It's like Thor is the Norse god.
Also exists, and you're expected to, you know, play nice with him. It's like, are you serious? Now this is just stupid.
There's too many problems I've been mentioned with Iron Man.
Iron Man 2 smelled way too much like Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
another disappointing movie.
Do you remember a single moment?
Like, yeah, do you remember any of the
film, essentially?
I remember when he builds his own element.
Yeah, that's about it.
In fact, Men in Black 2 was like 80
and Walt Disney is his dad.
Oh, the dad was great. I'm bummed out they're not bringing that
up. No, we're bringing about Men in Black 2 here, because that's a great movie. What about Men in Black 2?
Men in Black 2 was just, they had all this hype for this big sequel, major sequel, and when it came out, it just was like the most empty feeling thing, because it was 80 minutes long, it was the most forgettable thing.
What happens
it was
in like,
exactly.
That movie. Exactly. What happens
Men in Black 2
came
the most...
out, everyone saw it, and then everyone just forgot.
Is that the
about
one
it.
Where
like,
the cat has the universe on its neck?
No,
that's the first one.
It's the most forgettable movie ever made.
Is there a third one? Is there a third Men in Black?
They're making it.
Or it's like announced.
Right now.
Yeah.
Will Smith needs
we should watch
Men in Black 2
again.
Yeah,
we should watch Men in Black 2 again.
Yeah, we should watch Men in Black 2
because it's really, I have no
idea. I was saying, by the way, one thing that might be good is if we play a movie. If we play a movie and tell it. Well, I guess this is what Riff Track does. Now forget
it. He's just over there coming up with his own idea that somebody else already did.
I was like, I have an idea where we could.
No,
we can't do better than those guys.
Riff Tracks are coming for you.
So I mean, so speaking of superhero movies that don't take
Riff Tracks is great,
seriously,
by the way.
Green Hornet, which Brian and I saw, I had a great time.
Yeah, I skipped out.
I had a fantastic time.
See Black Swan.
Everyone
but I got
everyone said it was bad,
Netflix
and no one had seen it yet. It was like opening weekend, and everyone's like, "It's really bad. You shouldn't see it." And it's like, "Well, how?" And no one had seen it yet, so I guess going off of critics, which is not a really good idea to do.
Well, anymore. You know what? If you're, you know, I figured
I can't
if you're
remakes, I like Spider-Man 3. So whenever it talks about a superhero movie, I'll see it for myself and see what happens.
I like Green Hornet a lot because it just had fun the whole time. It wasn't like a serious movie, and I think anybody who disliked it were the kind of people who were like, Mechanical Spider-Man, best movie ever. This is gonna be great. You know,
mechanical
I mean, like,
Spider-Man?
The mechanical like stuff for
oh,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, you're not talking about like the giant spider from Wild Wild West. And,
well, they may be inclined to that as well.
It's the same trap that Zack Snyder finds himself in, where like he announces he's gonna stick to some little detail, the internet goes nuts, and he kind of rolls with it.
I love Zack Snyder.
So, how do you guys feel about Superman reboot here?
Superman reboot?
I'm interested in it.
It's a project that Darren Aronofsky turned down. That's all you need to say
yeah.
about it.
Well, here's the thing.
Isn't Darren Aronofsky doing like the new Wolverine?
Well, yeah. Well, Matt, you figured out. Well, this
he
is interesting.
He'd rather do a sequel to Wolverine than
to be fair. To Wolverine. To be fair, Wolverine's way cooler than Superman.
Well, hold on.
I figured out
Aronofsky. Aronofsky out.
At first, I had no idea what Aronofsky was doing Wolverine. Then I realized it's literally almost identical to. Now, this is going
to
sound ridiculous.
I saw you say this. You're going to have to
Yeah, you have to explain. So, why is it identical to Black Swan and the Wrestler? Because, okay, just accept that superhero is a normal job, like dancer or wrestler. So essentially, he's interesting because it's about people who are defined by what they do and their obsession with doing that. Physically, what they do physically harms them. So Wolverine is a character, unlike all the other
superheroes. Wolverine's not obsessed with what he does. He's
he's obsessed with revenge. He's obsessed with finding out who he is, and his actual identity physically harms him. So wrestler, what they do physically harms him. And Aronofsky's obsessed with that. He pinpoints. He breaks down all the physical pain. Okay. And I've heard it back on. Now, Wolverine is the only character that what he does hurts himself. Whenever, you know, they do one little moment in X-Men 1
where whenever he shoots out his claws, they hurt his knuckles.
I'll put this down. No, I'll put this down right now.
The guy's a lumberjack.
I'll put this down right now. I'll put down $20 right now. I'll give it to somebody that in Aronofsky's movie, you're going to have a lot of scenes. He's going to emphasize the fact that it hurts a lot when he does it. I will bet
if
you.
If Wolverine even
and the
winces,
physical toll.
If he even winces at the claws coming out. He is not Wolverine.
He is Wolverine. Well, Wolverine is.
But do you think
that's
going to happen in this movie?
I bet you he will concentrate on the physical pain. Okay.
And the big thing about Wolverine is the fact that he's basically invincible. Like Wolverine can get like hit by a 747,
but it hurts
hurts. That's the big thing.
That's the point.
But it's not him hurting himself. It's just like
he does
insane amounts of damage.
He is hurting himself because he chooses to put himself in these situations.
No, he doesn't. He just wants to drink and party. He doesn't want to drink and party.
I want to read Logan's Wolverine.
Maybe he does, but I guarantee you, Aronofsky's Wolverine is not going to be about him drinking and party. It's going to be about It's going to be about him defining himself as a superhero and
just like all
himself.
Of Aronofsky's movies.
I hope it's about a man who just wants to drink and party, but all this stuff gets in the way.
I really hope it's Wolverine in a bubble in space. Flying to a tree.
Yeah,
that movie got to me.
Yeah, same here. Okay, so Freddie hates the movie.
The Fountain is probably the most devastating
movie I've ever seen.
It's Buddhism 101 for idiots.
Oh, no, the one problem with that movie is that all the scenes are mega dark in it.
Like, it is actually it was color corrected. It's incredibly
like two
dark.
Two stops too dark.
That was actually one of the things that I remember.
And it was intentional, but I complained to the theater multiple times. I was like, guys, I think your projector is missing a light.
They're like, the movie's like this, dude.
Yeah.
No, sir. This is exactly how we intended to
deal with it.
I thought my biggest problem with it was there's so many moments where I was like, oh wow, it's some like subtle visual thing or some metaphor that's like, it's really cool. I got it. And then the next scene is him pounding that point through your head.
So basically, you didn't like that he was spelling it out.
Here's the thing. He walked that tightrope of like just giving the audience enough information to sort of get where he's going and like be totally understand it. But then, okay, now you're treating me like
an idiot.
Think
the movie was ever subtle.
Now, see, here's the thing. I'm not arguing that. I think there is a good movie there. I think the biggest problem was he edited that movie himself for months. Legendarily, he locked himself in the editing room and would not let anyone else touch it. I think that there's a good movie in there if someone else cut it.
So I'm curious, Logan, you cried during Million Dollar Baby. You said the fountain got to you. How much did it get to you?
I got a little moist.
Okay, see, so it obviously affected Logan, who's a nearly unaffectable man.
Just right.
There's one thing that stands out is that Logan is a rock of a man.
A rock of a man.
Fastest man alive.
And it affected me immensely. It's definitely a love-hate sort of movie, it seems like. About 1999 we're talking about movies. Spider-Man and...
Yeah, this is great. Everybody who's like...
this is the most,
all the teenagers listening to this would be like, I have no idea what...
Those people have heard of those movies. Or they can Netflix them now.
Watch it and let us know what you think.
Wolverine will be interesting. I just really hope they party really hard in that movie.
They're not going
Is this
to.
Your ideal Wolverine? What is your ideal Wolverine movie?
Your
just
Wolverine.
Go from the
He's
start.
Spelled it out.
I think Wolverine should... So there's a... There's
What's
a
the plot, though? What's his
There's
objective?
A cage fighter. There's a cage fighter out there. God, what's his name? He's like called like Andre Arlovsky.
Okay.
He's Wolverine.
And he literally looks like Wolverine. To the point that his mouth guard is just fangs. So whenever he wins a match, he flexes all his muscles and screams and just looks like he has fangs in his mouth.
Wolverine doesn't have fangs, by the way.
Everybody has fangs.
It looks literally so much like Wolverine. He also has fangs.
It just means really sharp.
He looks more like Wolverine than Wolverine.
Just really sharp canines. But if you like, so basically, that man going around partying while riding a Harley and smoking tons of stogies.
But there's nothing that happens in this movie. This is just a party exploitation movie.
He's partying, and then he finds somebody from his past.
Now does he stop partying
while
or
partying?
Does he just bring him along to party?
While partying, and he has like a moment, like that moment of pause where it's like, wait a second,
who am I?
And then someone taps him on the shoulder. It's like, I think you might have forgot to party, Wolverine. It's like, good call.
He just thinks, do I party
the whole
too
movie
hard?
Is scored by Motorhead. That's your Wolverine movie. What's your Spider-Man movie? If you got the Spider-Man project, so, all right, Logan, we want you Logan, of all people Spider-Man. In the world.
We want you to do it.
How would you do Spider-Man?
Oh man, I would cast James Franco as Spider-Man first. Oh my god! Did you guys see James Franco's like talk on the Today Show?
No, was he good?
Oh man, it was so amazing. So they were basically going through each like best supporting actor,
yeah,
and interviewing him. But they put his earbud in for the whole like best supporting actor before him. So when they got him, he's like, "So I heard that whole one, Janet. I bet you'll be polishing his Oscar, huh?" It's like, no, James, we're totally rooting for you. He's like, yeah, right, Janet, I heard that.
James Franco's become...
He's like a total baller.
James Franco is a baller, and he did 127 Hours, and now he's the guy, he's going to direct a freaking Blood Meridian. After all these people have finally dropped it, James Franco. I mean, I guess he's done a movie before.
He's a little young. You need like a husky old man.
That's why it's weird. I mean, he's done a movie. He's directed, I think, two movies by now, but his first the real studio McCarthy film adaptation. Is going to be a Cormac McCarthy adaptation, and it's going to be like perhaps the darkest book in American literature. Like... That's intense. I don't know what he's gonna do.
So you know,
he's the guy who ate a pie and smiled and said so good in Spider-Man 3, and now he's gonna do Blood Meridian.
I think if I did Spider-Man, it'd be James Franco, and I would just do American Pie over again. But
the guy has does he ever become Spider-Man?
Oh yeah, he's Spider-Man, but he only uses it to go on crazy sexual hijinks at like in all like girls' locker rooms and stuff.
What does he?
He's spraying his web everywhere.
Huh? Yeah. And the spider web is totally an allegory for
his
his web accidentally comes up.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like, whoa, and it'd spray all over the girls. And be like, ah! They'd be like caught in a web, and then he'd have to like dash away and stuff.
That's the whole movie.
Why would he dash away after he catches
web and away?
And who's that silly old man, Eugene Merman or
Levy?
John McCarthy? Eugene Levy.
Levy. There we go.
Eugene Levy. Levy would give him talks. He'd be Uncle Ben.
With great power comes with great responsibility. Stop being a jerk off, son! And he'd spray girls.
And then he'd say like a really awkward story, and James Franco kind of like rub the back of his neck, like, whoa. And then they like, you know, zip line away.
Why do you need James Franco? As I can tell, the only act he needs to do is go all the time.
So I guess it'd be who's that kid from American? Jason? That's not Jason Statham.
Let's just use the whole cast from American Pie. But Spider-Man.
What'd you do with that boy?
Did we discuss Jason Statham's past, by the way?
No, what is his past?
So apparently he used to just be like a huckster on the streets of England.
Like just a rogue?
Explain what huckster is,
like,
Logan.
He would just, he would find like a, what's the term, counterfeit goods and sell them on the streets. And then Guy Ritchie, the director of Snatch, found him and was like, hey, you should come be an actor.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So he just...
He is Vigo, so much more Vigo used now. To be a totally Vigo badass. Used to be a truck driver, I believe.
Vigo used to be a million things. He was like a cowboy who like rode a truck, and then he rode a truck into an audition, and then like sneezed out Lord of the Rings, and then became like an astronaut.
Right? And then the moment he's like the biggest man in Hollywood, or one of the biggest men in Hollywood, he's like, I'm going to leave and go write poetry. And he just left. And it's not like a stunt where he's like, I'm going to go be a pop star and then come back. He's like, no, I'm going to go hang out in the forest and write poetry. And
some
that's it.
Some are just too cool.
He's just incredible. The greatest story about Vigo, this is going to become a Vigo love fest, but the
one Vigo love fest. I love Vigo. Incoming.
There was I forget the actress's name, but she wanted the horse from Lord of the Rings, and of course Vigo got his own horse because he's, you know, the freaking star. And he found out.
And he also knows how to fucking treat a horse. I'm sure this actress had never seen a horse before.
But no, this girl loved her. It was Eowyn or whatever.
That's a very mean way of talking about Liv Tyler, by the way.
Yeah, he found out about this, and he bought the horse for her out of nowhere, and he made the stable and he sent it to her. So like she showed up, she's like all depressed that she couldn't keep her horse from Lord of the Rings, so she spent 18 months with, and Vigo just bought it and never even told her until somebody told her that he did.
Do you think
it.
He ever
He's
told Liv Tyler, or do you think he like actually bought it to take
it wasn't
it
Liv Tyler
her, to like take it away from her?
Yeah, then he took it away from her later. She saw it and then he just ripped it out.
Yeah, to make sure she never ever left.
That horse.
He's just a good dude.
Yeah, here you go.
Here you go.
Check it out.
And he just shot it.
Get it out of here.
He just shot it right in front of her. He bought it and he was standing next to the horse. Like, I bought you the horse.
I'm always intrigued by shooting horses. Like,
I know. Could there never be a better solution?
When an animal gets injured, it's like, let's take an event. When a horse gets injured, it's like, let's just shoot it.
This is what I think. This is what I think happened about that story. I think no one's ever tried to fix a horse. I think it just happened once and just kind of kept going. Well, so some guy was like, can you fix this horse? He's like, the only way we can fix it is shoot it. Well, and then from now like, on, it just
I think it's because like, it. Well, this dog can lay down for a while. It's like, that horse needs to run free.
Get her dead. It's a million-dollar baby. It's a million-dollar baby per horse. Like, yeah, like, without his legs, that horse might as well die.
Can't, like, wear a cast for a while? It's like, no, it's got to run free.
They would test it. I think it's like, it'll die if it lays sideways longer, but have they like... Has like anyone tested just like, this? Please don't shoot me. I'll be fine in like a week. If you just don't, whatever you do.
Well, it would have to. I assume if you wanted to save a horse, you have to put it like in a harness and just suspend it there by a crane for like weeks.
You could put it on a centrifuge and spin it around like a carnival
put
ride.
A pool. So figured, put a pool. Yeah, like a pool floaty. Or like a lift. I figure it's a size
go.
Thing.
There you go. Put a horse in a floaty.
It must be a size thing. So is anything bigger? Like if an elephant gets hurt, do they just shoot an elephant? If an elephant doesn't need to get shot, there's no way a horse needs to get shot. That makes no sense.
I think it's just because you need to move on. You're like, you're going and a horse is hurt.
Oh, so it's less, yeah. So that's what it is.
You're usually running away from a bank robbery or something.
Yeah. And you want to make sure the horse doesn't trade sides.
The horse
he's heard all your secrets.
He's heard all the secrets.
The funny thing about a horse, their body is so large and their legs are so tiny.
Yeah.
Like, they're like silly little sausage cans with like little like sticks running around. So they look so fragile when you think about it. So when they like break a leg, you're like, well, it can't possibly
survive. I believe Brandon hates horses.
I don't like the idea of riding a horse when I know that, like, if I was a horse, I would throw my ass off.
Oh, so it's less like you hate horses than it is.
No. But so you just trust them. If anything, you respect them. Horses too much.
I respect them. And whenever I'm sitting on one, I know I think I'm like, you know what? If I was a horse, I'd throw me off. And I know it looks at me. I think it's probably thinking the same thing. It's just waiting for the perfect
horses. It should be noted, horses love to have people on them.
And you heard this feels like another thing that you heard this from who, Logan?
They can't and to not have people on them. That's why we always put those saddles on them.
That's why they look sad.
Those saddles are so it feels like there's a person riding them.
That's why guys have to break them in and train them to be ridden because they resist a lot at first.
Yeah, well, they're not used to the feel of a man, but once they have it.
So first they hate it, and then they're like,
used to. Horses are not used to the feel of a man. Logan.
They're not used to the gentle touch of Homo sapien.
There is animals that really hate being poked and yanked at. And so, like, if you get on them, they'd rather have you ride around there than have you like kick them in the ribs. So
well, what I love is
a little bit.
What I love is they must have known. They must have known like before they met man, they must have been riding around, and then they looked at a man, and they just realized instantly that we were the perfect size for them, and they must have looked at each other and be like, shit. Our entire life is
only
officially
a matter of time.
Who's the first person to be like, you know what, I'm gonna get on that animal. Like,
that's mine.
Who thinks that? Like, I never have looked at something and just been like,
I'm gonna get on there.
Do you know what it was?
It'd be perfect.
They probably got spears. They're running towards the village, like, oh, I'm gonna rape and pillage, I'm gonna rape and pillage, I'm gonna rape and pillage. Can't wait. And then there's a horses running past them faster.
Next to them,
and then they're
like,
gonna get to the raping first.
They're gonna rape and pillage first.
These horses are gonna rape that whole village before I meet them.
I gotta get on that horse.
They try to eat them, and the horse meat doesn't taste very good. So they're like, gosh, there must I guess be I something could just else.
They were pissed. They're like, these goddamn horses don't taste. They taste like shit. How can I punish them? We'll ride them for the rest of their lives.
Are bulls fast? Why didn't we ever just ride?
Because bulls kill you.
Horses can kill you too.
But horses don't kill you on purpose.
A bull wouldn't kill you for if you long treat distances, it right.
Though. They get winded.
I love the sort of all the stuff where it's like, you know, they cartoonify these things like My Little Pony and stuff. When it's like, I think it just trains like little girls to be like incredibly comfortable with massively dangerous animals.
I was terrified when I first rode a horse.
And they're so muscular. Just giant muscular beasts. And their cocks are as big as we are. Did you know that? They're literally 6 feet long.
Well, Not as big as our cocks, as big as we are.
As big as humans are.
Okay. I don't think they're quite that big, but yes, they are really large.
They're definitely large.
Good forearm.
Yeah. That was the grossest.
At least.
Yeah. That was the grossest, dirtiest
job. That thing would tear into anybody. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're from Seattle. You know Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie knows about this.
Yeah.
Mr. Hands.
Mr. Hands. Yeah. No, wonderful. This, by the way, now it's like the two most dubious things of all time Washington State has, which is, oh, that's that place where the guy was out in the farmland and got his colon perforated by a horse. Like, yes. And you guys have Twilight Con coming this year. It's like, yes. Great.
Thanks.
Real winner of a
two
state.
Good conventions.
What about apples, guys?
How related are they? I don't know.
If you did a Venn diagram of people interested in horses sexually and Twilight fans.
That's where Seattle is.
That's where Seattle is.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about that. What's not Seattle? It's Forks. It's Forks, Washington.
Space Needle is an homage. Is a monument to the
Great
Horse.
Which is, by the way, it's always hilarious to read the Twilight novels because it's clear that it's written by somebody who's like, where is this? Let's look up somewhere on the map. It's like, you have no idea like where what the cities are and stuff.
You read all of them or just the first
one? How many times have you read it in order to be able to?
It's hilarious when I read them.
Well, the way they refer to the different places. Because I've been to Forks. Forks used to be a logging town.
Yeah.
And it used to be like, it was on the way out. And I remember even like newspaper articles being like, oh, there's not much logging left. And it's just like this godsend from nowhere. It's like,
no, I understand what you mean. It's like everyone's on an LA movie. Wait, like, let's go get ice cream. Where? Santa Monica.
Is this logging town like completely flooded by Twilight
fans? It's completely changed now. They've revamped Main Street. It's just tourists. Twilight memorabilia. It's turned into like a Twilight thing. Now here's what
Logan, if you wanted to get a cheap vampire loving girl, you could head down there.
I'm not pale enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now here's if I was now if I had
if you just
if I
wore had a wife beater and put fake things on oh, and man, just ran over. Around full speed through the forest,
you're the fastest man alive.
Girls, you catch
just catch girls. Let's go, girl. Let me put on my fangs and my wife beater.
Well, I was if I was Stephanie Harris, what I would do is this: I would say, all right, I'm not gonna pick
Stephanie
four.
Stephanie
Meyer, right?
Who's Stephanie Meyer?
Who's Stephanie Harris?
Stephanie Harris. You said Stephanie Harris. Who the fuck?
Stephanie Myers wrote.
The
So
I would designate some, I wouldn't say forks, I would say some out of the way place where I had a house or something, right? And I would say, all right, this house is where all the vampires must go to become vampires, and some property, a real property that I own out in like the middle of Utah or something. It's like, and they all must go in there, and it's you know some big part of the story. So then I get all these tourists, and then while there, charge admission to go into the house.
So the question is, do you think she actually knew how huge Twilight was going to be?
If she did, she's a genius.
Before,
there's no way.
Not before.
There's no way.
Not before. Well, you do if you're in the middle of a series like that. She doesn't know how to write. After you write the first one and it's getting huge, you know you for the sequels you move them to a different town or you set up a different location where you've already.
Exactly.
The first one. It's like the second.
The same third one. So it's like, you've never been to the Vampire House in Utah?
The Vampire House?
The second movie.
Currently owned by Freddie Wong? That's what?
The second movie just starts with everybody. We have to move. Why? I don't know. We're all moving.
So we have to move.
No, you put the map before the book. You know, the two pages of the map.
Like Lord of the Rings style.
The actual map. It's the actual map. And then when you're there, it's a tourist place. Yeah, and when you're there, it's a tourist trap. Could you imagine how many people? Because I remember saying that they're
she
saying
probably
that
probably thought about that. You know she's what? Too busy with her millions of dollars.
Well, no, she's too busy writing novels with integrity. Novels that are honest and true to the mythology.
Well, because I got this idea because I had heard that the island that their honeymoon takes place on like saw a spike in people wanting to have honeymoons there as a result of these books.
That's disgusting.
It's actually a shitful.
You might as well just have your wedding themed like Zelda style.
Which
like,
is, the guys don't know. The woman doesn't tell them that. The woman doesn't
kill yourself. let's promise to be together forever by theming our wedding like fucking.
No, but the woman would never
tell that's not the most loser.
You might as well just buy your wedding dress from Target.
Do they have wedding dresses at Target?
Yeah, well, they might as well.
They might as well. Like,
next to the novels, next to the books.
See, imagine being a guy when you find out that that's what it is, because there's no way the girl tells the guy, like, I want to have my honeymoon here because of, you know, she says, I want
to
hear.
You get to the hotel. Okay.
I hope
there's
fans.
Also a spike in wife deaths. Fucking location.
Imagine as a guy, you get just there, accidental drowning. Yes. You're like, wait a minute.
It's just nothing but murder there.
Are you telling me we came here because you're a fucking Twilight boy?
I have met people. Yeah, I've met boys who love Twilight.
His name
though.
Will be Edward.
That's the worst, right? Could you imagine naming your kid after?
I keep on hitting this microphone.
I am sure it's causing all kinds of. But could you imagine naming your kid that? Because they're saying that it's like this.
Edward and Jacob spiked.
Edward and Jacob spiked.
What's her name?
Isabella or whatever. Yeah, but Isabella? So all these Isabella? Things spiked. Could you imagine your first like in like 10 years first grade class is going to be like, oh hey.
What are you named after?
Jacob.
Just with 12 Jacobs in our class.
I'm named
there's
after
8 Edwards.
Twilight. I'm named after Twilight.
It's, yeah. It's my uncle.
And Jacobs and Edwards are just going to hate each other.
Well, the thing is, the amazing thing is, they're all going to be
friends. Team Jacob, Team Edward.
It'll be all the pale, fat losers.
Yeah, it will be.
We'll all be Edwards and Jacobs.
It will be.
We're in the corner.
In broken households. Single family. Single
everybody knows this, but we have tried. I mean, because, you know, we're generally just interested in kind of success and how pop culture works. We have watched every Twilight.
When people are like, Logan, what are you interested in? I say, I'm interested in success.
Success.
That's what I say.
No, but like,
what are your interests? Well, I'm into football.
You didn't phrase every woman.
I'm into reading books.
I like success. I like success. I meant successful things. So let me walk. I meant successful things. Well, like, because
I'm into successful things.
I'm only into the
are
most
you like a
popular.
Motivational I prefer.
Matthew is into success, inspiration.
His Facebook profile actually says that.
Success.
Favorite
books, success.
7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Hobbies getting shit done.
I'm enjoying that you can very clearly we're slowly been drinking this whole podcast, so we're getting more and more ambitious.
I just can't.
But essentially, what I meant to say was, we'll see stuff that people don't like just to see why it's popular. So we have actually given Twilight the chance.
We can justify all we want.
Yeah.
We've seen. To be fair,
we just love Twilight. No, we've seen every Twilight.
I haven't seen the most recent one.
The most recent one actually is. It's actually pretty fun. By far the best. And also, you get a sense.
Eclipse.
The director had a sense of humor. Yeah. He knew that there's definitely.
Is it different than the director of the second one?
Yeah.
Each one's.
I felt like every time if he ever had to talk to Stephanie Meyer, every time he would get director humor, he would just like, oh yeah, and turn around and start laughing.
Wait, it is the same director as the second one?
No.
Different guy. He's the guy who did 30 Days a Night.
30 Days a Night.
Oh shit.
Yeah, here's the thing. He clearly has a sense of humor for it, because there's definitely a lot of scenes in there where it's very like self-referential, like
it's meta. There's one where he says like where Jacob's just standing there and they do the cliche shot, just Jacob shirtless, and Edward comes in, he's like, do you even own a shirt? Just the way it's delivered is just like so mad. The best moment, the most intense part of the book is this scene where somehow after all this plot, you know, everything goes and the two guys literally have to protect her in a tent, and they're both like shirtless in a tent protecting her.
Okay, well, she's cold. So they need to use the body heat to warm her up. Edward can't because he's a vampire.
I'll say it's the most Mormon scene ever read, where it's the most awkward like dialogue between two men who are like shirtless. In love with women, and the way he directs it is so hilarious. It's so awkward and self-referential. I hope you get
at least 10 people to watch a Twilight.
Well, the director tweeted out our Twilight parody video.
That's right. The 30 Days of Night guy?
Yeah. Which is, I think, a sign that he had a sense of humor, because we were pretty much making fun of it. He wouldn't tweet out. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
The riff tracks of Twilight are great, by the way.
They are pretty good. The second one's too long for it.
The second one's the most mundane movie I've ever seen. So the
riff tracks are so great. I was a big fan of the second one, actually.
Seriously?
You'll love the third one, then.
There's no way you're being serious.
Because the second one, it's like a dude doing it. It's like a dude trying to figure out what chicks want. So it just takes all the chick dials and turns them to 11.
I don't know what that means.
What are you talking about? The chick dials where it's like shirtless dudes, all right, I'll turn that to 11. like wanting Edward really bad, I'll turn that to 11. And so like, it's like what he thinks a girl would want, but like way more than a girl could possibly want. That's kind
of
true, because
it ends with a bunch of shirtless dudes in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. It's
how the movie ends.
Exactly. It's like, you want cake? Let me give you cake. So he starts shoving cake down the chick's mouth, and the chick's like, no, I'm all full of cake. Like that's what that movie is. That was a really weird analogy.
That was
very violent.
Okay, that's a really violent analogy for Twilight.
So Taco Bell feelings.
Oh yeah, there we go. Talk about feelings.
So
speaking of Twilight,
Speaking of Twilight. So the big news this week was Taco Bell is getting sued, right?
Besides Egypt, the big news was Taco Bell.
Let's not talk about Egypt.
We're not qualified to speak about that at all.
We're not allowed to speak about that.
Actually. But we are qualified to talk about
Taco Bell.
One
thing I know about is beef.
Yeah.
I like it 100%.
So Taco Bell got sued because their beef is only 30% beef.
Wait, they got sued? I didn't know they got sued.
No, like, that's what happened. And so
that's not a Conan joke.
No, so... I'm glad to see you're informed.
What's the other 70%? That's more important.
Soy-based stuff, filler material.
Sawdust. Yeah, I mean, it's not like this shit.
Is it sawdust? Is it, I mean, like,
in Germany, it's
cat
shit.
Hair. It's cat hair. It's a lot of bad stuff. And so Taco Bell released this thing that's like, I'm glad you sued, because now we can say what's really in our beef.
Our beef. And we're going to use that word. I don't use that word lightly. Our beef.
Our beef. And we'll let you know that our beef is a full 88% beef. That's supposed to be good?
Did he start with I have a beef with your lawsuit and everything? Oh, that'd quiet. Be.
I don't think there were any puns.
Damn.
No, but they're
so stuck in the world of fast food that they thought that was very.
Yeah, admirable. The fact that
everyone's
that
like, oh,
88%.
Wow.
88. Can you imagine? Your beef is great. Is disgusting. Shame on you.
Is McDonald's like just like quivering in fear? Because there's no way everybody's 100%.
I think McDonald's probably.
I remember reading somewhere that McDonald's is full on beef, but it's not like good.
I mean, there's a difference between there's a difference between percentage of fat.
So Logan, would you rather
have fatty beef versus just fat and meat combined?
Now, would you rather have like 60% like the best beef in the world and the rest soy base, or would you rather have 100% McDonald's beef?
I'd rather just.
We don't know if McDonald's is 100% yet, but
yeah. I remember
reading somewhere that it was though.
I'd rather go have a steak and just
So I reject your question entirely, and I'd rather answer my own question.
I'd rather eat Flemingon at a $60 steakhouse.
Exactly. This is
I'd rather get a ride in a jet plane.
I would take a McDonald's cheeseburger over a Taco Bell taco.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I'm actually not a hater of McDonald's. People hate McDonald's.
Well, McDonald's is disgusting.
It is.
What's amazing about McDonald's is when you think of McDonald's, you don't think superpower, but they are. Like, they're the number one buyer of apples in the world.
There's a whole economic theory based off of the country's...
Yeah, the Big Mac Index.
And it's still, and yeah, like, whatever it is. But essentially, foreign policy based off of the idea that this is old, but no country with McDonald's in it will go to war with another country with McDonald's in it.
That's awesome.
And it's just a symbol of wealth and democracy. If there's a McDonald's there, it means your country is...
Peace.
Yeah, thumbs
peace
up.
It's okay.
Yeah, McDonald's is this peace bringer.
It's kind of like holding hands, saying we are the world.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think...
how long has this been?
We're at 65 minutes, but okay, that's fair. You're making me hungry.
Yeah, I'm getting a phone call.
You guys want to go
McDonald's? Talk
the worst thing... Oh, yeah, the worst thing ever.
Can you hear my phone call? No.
Well, the worst thing.
Silence my phone.
Okay, thanks. Ready. Thanks, Matt. We helped out one of the YouTube guys on a McDonald's commercial. And I was like, we really want McDonald's right now.
And for your award, you got unlimited McDonald's.
No, they didn't have any. But we were just like, man, we should.
The fries.
The fries. Oh, they do this thing where every, like, at 5 o'clock, they bring out fries and everyone gets fries. But they're made. And it's great because
so amazing about that is those fries are such empty calories. They're really feeding you.
But they have. But they had the food chefs there, right? And the food chefs, like, the most, just like a heat gun to melt the cheese and just like a little dollop of ketchup on the side and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks so perfect. It's even taller. The Big Mac they make is taller than the box it's in. So it has to come in with the box open because you can't physically close the box on because it's so fluffy. Like, how is it? Like, it's cold and disgusting.
We have to eat it when it's old. We should have grabbed some of those Big Mac buns, then gone to McDonald's afterwards and got it and replaced them.
So one thing everybody should remember when they're eating McDonald's is that nothing you taste in a McDonald's meal is actual food. All the food you eat from McDonald's is artificially flavored because it's been so nuked with ammonia and antibiotics and all sorts of things to prevent from all, like, because the chickens are ground up and the cows are, like, mashed together, so there's so many diseases in there that they have to, like, use all these disinfectants and whatnot. And on top of that, there's tons of preservatives, so those fries can last, like, you know, a nuclear winter. So
that's why they made it.
What you're actually
way.
Tasting is a bunch of food chemist concoctions that they inject into the fries and whatnot after the fact.
They have these chefs taste like the powder and the flavor like liquid, and they're like, this tastes like smoke.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
This tastes
like
beef.
Those fries you're eating, that is not the fries you're tasting. That is the chemicals injected into those fries. The cheeseburger, that is not the meat and cheese you're tasting. Those are chemicals injected into the meat and cheese. And that's not like me talking as like some sort of organic vegan person, because I'll jam my face full of McDonald's.
Yeah.
But just be aware that's what you're eating. Just be aware of that.
And on that, very, very happy note, insightful note, yeah, we'll wrap this one up.
We preach good eating here.
Yeah. Good eating here.
So, questions, comments, send them to podcast@facerocker.com. And thanks very much. See you guys later.
Later.